Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
I would like to introduce someone to you that I've known since I was five. Seriously. And she was two. Is that what we figured out one time? And I always talk, you guys hear me talk about her all the time in my sermons and stuff, and I'm going to have her come up and just pray a blessing over the service, and this will be a chance for you to meet my wife, Kelly. Would you come up, sweetie? Would you pray a blessing for the
sure.
service? Okay.
Well, Father, I thank you for your goodness, Lord, and just as we were singing this morning that you are a good and you're a good father, and that you're good all the time. And Lord, I ask that you would draw near to each heart this morning, and I ask that you would draw us to your father's heart, Lord, and that we would feel safety in the shelters of your wing, Father, in the shelter of your wings, Lord. I ask that you would draw near to Brian, Lord, and I ask that you would move upon him and anoint him, Father, so that we can be ministered to, Lord. That you would move through him, that we would fill your heart, that it would open a new door, a fresh door to intimacy, a deeper intimacy in you. Father, I ask that you would be with everything that we do today, and Father, that we would reflect and meditate on your goodness in our lives. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sweetie. All right, this morning we're going to continue on where we've been the last several months. I want to talk to you about God being a father and look at a very specific aspect of that. If you have your Bibles, why don't you go with me real quick to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And as you're turning there, I want to do a real quick review on the fact that when we say father in the Hebrew concept of father, there are two emphases or two ways that it could be defined. And we've looked at this before, but just as an overview, if you've not been with us, the word father carries the definition of the initiator or the birther of something. That's a one concept. So when we say God is our father, he really is the father of all humanity because he has created them. We also have the term father. It also carries the definition of nurturer. Now, what's really interesting is God can be, for humanity, the father of all creation, and yet there are children that he's created that are not in relationship with him, and they don't understand his nurturing aspect. And so for you and I, one of the great inheritances that we've received coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is that we are not just given eternal life, that is a beautiful and glorious thing, but eternal life is to know God. That is what eternal life is. And so when we are introduced into meeting who God is, he begins the idea of explaining, my love is set in the context of understanding family. And because he wants us to understand family so importantly, he wants to be known as a nurturing father. And so when we begin this journey, as we've been taking different aspects and saying, well, if God is like a father, what are father, you know, depending on what type of father you had when you were being raised, you project that on how you see God. And for some of us, we haven't had what we would call a mature or a good picture of what a father is like, and so it's affected us. And so what we've been intentionally doing is coming the last several months and saying, all right, now God describes himself as a father, and if I don't want to embrace him as a father, I have a wrong picture of what God is as a father. And so we want to explore and look at how the scripture talks about this, because one of the greatest joys of Jesus was to say, here's my father. He's my father, he's your father. And he thought that that would satisfy a longing inside of you and I that would do an incredible work inside of us to not only enjoy God, but to love him deeply. And so today we're going to look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And we're going to talk about God being gentle. Now, depending on how you were raised, what culture you in, if you have a chance to ever travel around the world, you see how cultures treat each other and how fathers treat children. And what we have to do is we have to realize that God is the standard of how we are to be in relationship. And so he says, well, this is how he is as a father. And the Apostle Paul is now dealing with this, and he's trying to say, well, okay, when we're around each other, let's say that we have strong leaders and we have people that have strong personalities. How are they to relate to each other? How do we reflect God properly to each other so that we can actually not only be ministered to, but that we can clearly see him by how people treat each other? And Paul addresses this. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says, "We were gentle among you." Now, the word gentle here is really interesting in the original language. It means not just quiet. It means to be mild, or it carries the idea. Here are the characteristics of this word. It actually means a nurse with a crying child. So how do nurses treat crying children? A teacher with a difficult pupil. Or the best way, or the best definition, or the best word picture we can put on the idea of gentleness is this idea, a nursing mother. Now, these three pictures actually give us the idea of the quality of gentleness. Now, there's this paradox in Jesus' ministry, right? There's a paradox where as he's walking with you and I, he's modeling, well, this is what my father's like. And he has this incredible balance of showing compassion and challenging people at the same time. He doesn't overdo compassion and never challenge, and he doesn't overdo challenge and not show compassion. He learns how to balance both. That's our goal as we begin to reveal what God is as a father to each other. This idea that we can actually be gentle with each other and kind to each other is actually one of the highest standards of opening the heart to receive the love of God. I was telling some people yesterday, have you ever, when we first learned to do what this thing called evangelism, what we usually do is we walk up to people, and without knowing them, without being kind to them, without even relating to them, we basically propose marriage to them without even knowing them. So could you imagine, I used this yesterday, could you imagine I meet my wife for the first time and I think, well, I want to marry her. And so I don't do any of the relation dynamics. I just walk up to her and say, hey, you're a girl, I'm a guy, I want to get married. I know you do at some point, so let's just go ahead and do that. And you'd think, well, where's the relationship? Where's the knowing of each other? Where is all that? Well, a lot of times when people try to share Christ, they don't realize they're doing the same thing. They're blowing off the relationship. They're not modeling what God is like, and yet they're trying to get people to come into a covenant relationship, to make a commitment to something without seeing what the person is like. And you and I get to be the person that says, this is what God is like. By how, isn't this amazing? By how gentle we are, or how kind we are. Now, there are two forms of kindness that I want to reveal to you today as we look at this. The first one is this. Kindness by action. So by how you live your everyday life and by how you do things with people, you communicate what kindness is like. We also have a picture that kindness is by what we, gentleness and kindness is by what we speak. In fact, I want to show you a scripture on this. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Isn't it fun? Now, I'm going to have fun with him for a second. It's fun to be in churches where people open bags of chips and start eating while you're doing sermons because it shows that he feels comfortable. We probably ought to hand out some popcorn for everybody so that we can actually just sit and listen to what we're talking about. Thank you for doing that. I enjoyed that. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And by the way, that's what my kids do when I do sermons. They're like, oh, there's Dad. Here, give me a sandwich. Give me something to drink. And so listen to what it says here in the passage. It says, the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. And so he's now actually saying, you and I are actually not to come into situations, and we are to actually have a standard not to quarrel and fight with each other. We're actually to come and show kindness to each other and be able to talk to people and not be resentful. Now, I'm amazed that he picks that concept up of not being resentful and not quarreling, because this is what the human race ends up doing most of the time. We don't see eye to eye on something, and so we fight with each other, we quarrel with each other, and then we become resentful towards each other. And God is saying, well, for healthy families, for healthy relationships, and for healthy covenant community, you have got to reject that standard of the world and embrace the reality of the kingdom. And the reality of the kingdom is you need to learn to be kind to each other. All right. Now, what's interesting about, I said there's two forms of kindness, by how you treat people and by how you speak. This word for kindness in the original language says this. It's a calming word that brings God's order into a situation. So when we're kind, it doesn't mean we can't tell the truth. It doesn't mean that we can't say, hey, let's grow up and move on and be who God wants us to be. It doesn't say that we shouldn't do any of those things. It says we should be kind to actually speak God's word so that it creates order into people's lives. Order. So when we say God wants order in your life, what are we saying? We're wanting you and I to reflect the reality that being in his community means wholeness is a standard for us. You and I want wholeness. Several years ago, I was invited to a Chinese church out in San Jose, California. And as I'm flying there, I'm on the plane, I'm just praying and saying, well, okay. And there was what the topic was, spiritual warfare and deliverance, which I don't see that as a kind topic, do you? That's usually like knocking people down and driving demons out of them and screaming and yelling and all the stuff that we've learned to do, right? And I'm flying there, and I'm like, okay, so I'm going to cover this, this, and this, and it's like a four-hour flight, and I'm talking to the Lord. Well, now, how do you want me to, I mean, are you going to give me words? What's on your heart here? And the Lord just kind of stopped me in my tracks, and he said, now, I want you to intentionally overdo kindness as you come among these people. He said, because of their culture, which I had never perceived this before because I'm not raised in an Asian culture. He said, because of their culture, the family structure is harsh, it's demanding, and what it does is it wears them out emotionally, and they feel like I do not love them, even though they hear the concept that I love them. And so you're going to model extreme kindness to them. Now, that caught me actually off guard, not because of the statement, but I always thought I was kind already. So now God's saying, you actually need to really go out of the way to be kind here. When I got down to the ground, I was really trying to figure out, okay, outside of smiling at people and doing all that, what does that actually look like? And the Lord said, well, what that looks like is I'm only going to give words to you that encourages them in my love. I'm not going to give you words about their destiny. I'm not going to give you words that point to their future. This is a weekend for them to discover how much I love them tangibly. And then he says, and I want you, every time they ask you to serve or pray for you, I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to stop what you're doing, immediately engage them and pray for them and bless them. Well, this is a church of a couple thousand people, actually 4,000 or 5,000 people. So I thought, wow, this is going to be an intense weekend. And the people that picked me up immediately, the first thing they said to me, which I thought was cute, is, let's go get your bags, but before we go, could you pray and give me a word? By the way, do you guys realize that actually happens quite a bit when I travel? People find me and they're like, yes, I know we need to go here, but give me a word or give me the blessing of the Lord. And so I find myself doing this a lot of places that you wouldn't think you'd do that kind of stuff. And so I said, yes, let's do it right now. So we're in the airport, and I'm praying a blessing over them, and they're asking, what does God want for my life? And God's just coming as a tender father and telling them how much he loves them. In fact, the whole weekend is really kind of dramatic because as God just shared and he made me model kindness, people started getting healed of physical conditions just because of showing acts of kindness with God's presence. See, I believe that the door to the heart is kindness. And some people have not been shown kindness their whole entire life, and so they're afraid that people are going to use kindness to manipulate them. And so they never open that door anymore to receive it. The community of believers, we're actually to be different, aren't we? We're to show kindness with, ready, no strings attached. It's just an avalanche of the goodness of God. I just want to show kindness because God has been kind to me, and I can't think of any other way I should live except be kind to you. I don't have another agenda. God is kind. I want to be kind. I want to reflect and be nurtured, and I want to nurture the same way that he's nurturing me. Let's keep moving forward. In Titus 3:2, if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. Titus 3:2. It tells us this. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and show true humility to all men. All right. Now, this is interesting. In my notes here, a lot of this stuff is what I teach when I teach on what's biblical leadership. But isn't it interesting? Even though this could be used on here's what biblical leadership is, this is also the reality of what God is like, and that's why this is what biblical leadership is. Biblical leadership says the culture lives this way, but the community or the body of Christ should live this way because we're a unique people. So we have a different standard that we live by than what they call the system of the world. And what is the standard? Well, it says that we're actually not to slander no one. You guys, no one would stand here and admit, hey, Brian, do you know how many people I slandered this week? And I don't know about you guys, but I can pretty much stand forward and tell you I always catch myself slandering people. You'd think after a certain point in Christianity I'd stop doing that. Seriously. I mean, at a certain point you'd think, when am I going to grow up and quit doing this kind of stuff? And I have the Lord constantly saying, Brian, you've got to, don't even indulge it a little bit. And it's so easy to go there, isn't it? So easy to put someone down, so easy to be critical of people. And yet, God has challenged me constantly, you have got to stop doing that. This has got to become intentional. You can talk about issues, but do not slander people. All right, let's keep moving forward. The problem with trying to tell you stories in my past is it starts making me feel older and older every time I do this. Because I can't say this was a year ago. This is now 15 years ago. Now it's 20 years ago. I just launched out into doing Plumline Ministry, and this church in Minneapolis said, would you come and do a conference on who God is as a father? And I said, absolutely, I'd love to do that. Because I believe that out of the one thing that God has spoken to me deeply about is he is a father, and it's transforming. I try to be straight and honest with you guys, and if you've not heard me tell that story before, I grew up in a broken home where my father was absent. So this is a really big issue for me. It's really a powerful thing for me in my life to know God as a father because I long for a father as a man. And actually, all of us long for a father, but that's a different story. So I spent a lot of time studying this idea. This is what God is like as a father. So they invite me to do this conference. And the first session, I just kind of did an overview of what God is like as a father. And I'm asking the Lord, how do you want me to do ministry here? And he said, well, what I want you to do, he said, this is for the men this night. He said, for the men, I actually want you to, any of them that have had a broken relationship with their earthly father, I want you to have them stand and come forward. And instead of you praying for them, I want you to hug them until I break the spirit of rejection over them. Now, I've never heard anything like that from the Lord before. That made me extremely uncomfortable. Okay, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, how many of you guys, you ever seen someone come up in line and instead of the minister kind of slapping them on the head or pushing them or blowing on them, hugging them until something breaks over them? I mean, it's just really unusual, isn't it? In fact, I hug guys now. In fact, we always make jokes about this. And the men that I hug, they try to pull away from me in less than 10 seconds. It's like, okay, you hug me, now get away from me. So I just thought, oh, I don't want to do this. And then the Lord said, and get a washcloth and put it over your shoulder. I thought, well, that's different. So I literally walk up to the first man. And I actually told everybody, hey, we're going to do this. And I thought everyone would just stay in their seats and we could finish the meeting and go home. But like 50 guys came up. So I walk up to the first guy and I put this thing over my shoulder. And he goes, what's that for? And I go, I don't know. And so I grabbed him like this, and I literally held on to him, and he was struggling, and the Spirit of the Lord came over him, and he just started sobbing, and now we understood what this was for. All of a sudden, he was sobbing on my shoulder, and I don't mean to be graphic, but it's true, and snot was coming out of his nose onto this thing. And I'm holding him, and he's crying, and I can sense the Spirit of the Lord is just loving on him. And then I have a sense from the Lord, you need to let go of him. I let go of him, and he kind of just walks around in a daze like something he's been longing for has hit him, but he doesn't know how to relate to it, so he just goes and sits down and still sobbing. And the other 49 guys are looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and like, this is going to be an interesting evening. So now every guy I hug, I have to hold him. It literally felt like I was World Federation Wrestling. I wouldn't let go of him until the Spirit of the Lord. And I mean, guys were struggling with the love of God, and it was just difficult for them. And as God's love would touch them, they'd try to like, no, I have to be tough. Right? Because our culture teaches you, look, don't ever show softness. Don't ever let love just touch you. Act like you're tough. Well, that toughness in our culture is not toughness in strength. It's toughness and brokenness. That whole idea of not letting this happen shows that you're afraid to live life, because life is about being loved by a father. And when you're afraid of it, that's why you don't want to engage in this. And as we went through this, they were getting set free, and literally, again, the spirit of rejection was starting to get broken off of these men for the first time. And it was, by the end of the night, it took over an hour to do this with all these guys. They all cried on me. This thing was actually sopping wet. After I got done, I mean, I just had this big draining wet thing down my shirt. Isn't that exciting? And then I'm very graphic to tell you these kind of things. I actually threw it on the ground, and then I went and sat down because I didn't understand everything that was going on. And the women were watching their husbands, and no one would leave the room. And we're just sitting. The service was over. And everybody stayed in the service because there was this tangible presence of the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. And it was almost so absent for that community that came that they didn't want to leave it. Now, you guys realize this? When I see the body of Christ and we show just simple acts or we speak simple words of kindness, it so waters the soul, but we're so eager to get out of it. We're so eager to move on to the next thing. And yet I actually believe it's the atmosphere that almost everybody's longing for, is the atmosphere of kindness. It's what helps us drop our negativity. It helps what drops our fear. It helps what opens our heart to receive from the Lord. It is the catalyst or the bridge to bring us into knowing God and fully knowing Him. It's the kindness of the Lord. In fact, we even know this. And Scripture says this. I'm thinking about it as I'm talking about it. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. I change my way of viewing God by God showing me kindness. He does the same for you. Anywhere that God has brought Himself to you in your life and has shown you anything, it was because He was kind to you, and you enjoyed it, and you received it. Let's look at another scripture real quick. James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peace-loving, considerate. There carries the idea of kindness. Now, isn't this interesting? James, as you start going through the scriptures, as the scriptures are now beginning to develop, what does it mean to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it actually mean to be mature? It's very interesting. As you keep looking at the epistles, you find out that maturity isn't so much what you do, even though the Bible requires you to do things. I actually see learning how to walk in paths of righteousness isn't like being in middle school. You have to learn how to do that. But to grow up and to come into what we call maturity in Christianity, it's not I pray or I serve or I give. All of a sudden, after you learn those basic things, the Bible, when it focuses on what does it actually mean to be a mature Christian, it comes around to this stuff and says, a mature Christian does this. They look full face into who God is. His glory comes and it touches them. They see something in Him that they've not seen before, and when they behold that, the power of God's glory touches them so profoundly that they want to be like what has touched them. And so I could have said that simply and said it means about adjusting your value system to reflect God's value system. But in reality, it's a dynamic encounter with God being a father in your life. And when you see something in Him, you long for being that way yourself. It's amazing how God does this, isn't it? God loves me, and then I long for it deeper. God shows kindness to me, and then I long for being in an atmosphere of kindness. God shows Himself to me in some unique way, and then I have to become what has been shown to me. And this is what God is in the process of doing with us now when it comes to the idea of Him fathering us. The idea of knowing God as a father and Him being kind isn't about knowing a fact so I can go home and think, wow, think about that theological thing I've just understood. It's more than that. It's an invitation to walk through a door and see something that is a natural longing inside of you, to meet a kind God. Do you guys ever get the opportunity to talk to people that are involved in other religions? And you guys, some of you that have been around and you know me, I tell you I go to a food bank, and when I go around there, I talk to them, and the conversation that I'm always having with them about is the God of religion is different than the God of Christianity. In fact, the very term religion means man's attempt to reach God. Now, do you guys realize Christianity, there's none of that? You can't reach God by your effort, so you might as well give up. Christianity is God shows mercy, and you get transformed because of that, and then you respond in kind to it. And when I'm talking with them about religion, it's amazing. In religion, you see little or no kindness ever being expressed. In fact, that's not even a value system of other religions. The value system is sacrificing hardness and a sense of condemnation that just rests on them almost all the time. And you could see it almost etched in them. It's like they have a sense that there's something greater than themselves, but they think he's just mean and angry and there's nothing. All I have to do is serve him, and someday he might accept me. I mean, do you guys sense that tension in people? And yet here's God saying, no, you get to be the one that comes up and shows kindness to him. And then says, well, here's what he's like. He's been kind to me. He'll be kind to you. I don't know if you guys have ever thought this, but I think prayer or our whole prayer life isn't getting answers. I think it's finding a kind God. Isn't that interesting? I mean, for years it was about, how do I get my prayers answered? Now it's about, wow, look what I get to find out about who he is today. Look how kind he is in this situation and kind in this situation. It takes an awful lot to make God mad at people and nations. And you really have to push it. When people are, well, isn't sin driving up the wall? Well, at a certain level, God seems to say, hey, I'll even love you in your sin. So, see, there's something about this kindness of him that's just captivating that God wants us to capture. Now, think about this. When you and I, we talked about this last month, and I'm going to finish with this now. When you and I have God encounters, God shows me something in Scripture, a Christian says something kind to me, when God answers my prayers, when someone gives me a word, when I go out in the community and God touches my heart, there's what we would call dialogue that's nonverbal that's happening to your heart. And I want you to recognize it so that it can nurture you the way it's supposed to. Last month I talked to you about how important the embrace of God is. This time it's so important to acknowledge kindness when it's coming towards you. Or you will be longing for it and searching for it even though it's right there. If you're here, you're in a community, this is going on worldwide. If you're in the body of Christ, the first level of kindness is when he puts us in a family again. When he puts us in a family and people care for us, that's kindness. And he wants us to see that's what it is. That's kindness being shown to you. When God draws near to my heart, I always try to stop for a moment and not just say, gosh, here's God. Now let's see if I can get an answer to prayer or get this thing that I'm trying to resolve. I stop and just acknowledge who he is. Look at this. Here's the kindness of the Lord that has just drawn near me. It is so captivating to be caught by this. I'm going to finish with this story and we'll be done. There's this movie that was really popular several years ago, and they put out a sequel just recently, The Big Fat Greek Wedding. And in the first movie, it's about this girl who thought she was ugly. You don't need me to tell you the whole movie, but this part's important. She thought she was ugly. She'd never find somebody. She finds this guy. They fall in love. The father's giving them this hard time, and the guy's trying to figure out how to relate to the family. And at their wedding ceremony, remember I told you I have to learn how to be kind, I have to let God, because in our culture it's not right for men to just sob uncontrollably when love touches their heart. They have to act like they don't care and become Spock, right? And so I'm watching this in our house one night, and I love how God does this kind of things to me. He catches me off guard. They're just doing their thing, and they're being silly, and it's a comedy and all that other stuff. And it's the father and the mother of the bride are giving their announcements, and they're doing their Greek stuff and all this other stuff. And he said he doesn't know what to say, so he just hands his daughter an envelope. And the son and the daughter, they open the envelope, and they just get caught off guard. And the son-in-law says, they bought us a house. And all of a sudden, the daughter just... Sorry. The daughter starts weeping. Because extravagant love has been shown to her. And when I watched that, I felt that embrace of the Father. And I realized these things that he does for us, these things that we don't acknowledge sometimes. If we'll take a moment, we'll have an extravagant love experience that we saw in that movie. It's been ordained for you to have extravagant moments being caught off guard by the kindness of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, would you come right now? And we just need you to help us recognize your goodness in the midst of us. Can you bring your kindness near us, O Lord? Again. We long for this every day. We long to become people that act and talk and live like you. We say it, and it is true. You are good, and your kindness is stunning. Refresh your children today. They're all in different places. I felt a sense of weariness just in the midst of these people. And so, Father, would you come, and in your great mercy, lift weariness off people's hearts and renew and refresh your people. I thank you for them. I thank you that they are awesome in your sight, and you're a good God for creating them. And we just want to celebrate them today. I just bless your name, O Lord. Now be with them. The rest of the day, let them have a sense of the tangibleness of your embrace over their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.